And at this time, we'll have Brother Dan Martin come up, and he's no stranger to our church. One of the things when I heard Brother Dan was coming to be our Christmas evangelist, I got excited because I like exciting preachers. I like people that have something to say and have a zeal for the Lord. And Brother Dan has a zeal for the Lord that is, it makes me think of the, Jehu in the Bible. Come, let me show you my zeal for the Lord. And that's what I think of Brother Dan Martin. So he'll come at this time and speak to us. Thank you, Brother Dan.
All right, good morning. Good to see you all today, and glad to have the opportunity to be here for your Christmas evangelist. I told Preacher, I said, I'm never going to do it again, though. I said, don't ask me to do it again. This is the second time. The first time was about 10 years ago, if you remember, and we had the same kind of weather. I said, I think that night we had about 90 people in church that night. So if you remember that night, it was crazy. But anyway, no, the Lord knows what's going on. Amen. And I hate that he's sick. I talked with him this week, during the week, a few times. And then yesterday we talked a couple, three times. And he was like, man, Dan, I don't know if I'm going to be there. And I said, yeah, right. I know you. You're going to be there. So one way or another, you're going to be there. He goes, no, I'm serious, man. I don't know. And then this morning, he called me early and said, man, I'm not coming. I said, well, I said, Lord knows. And we just hope I can be a blessing to the church. And good to be here. And good to have my wife, Terry. Why don't you stand up real quick? My wife, Terry. And thank the Lord for her. And a lot going on in the Martin family this year. And I'll maybe say a little bit more about it later on, but we married a daughter off, our oldest daughter, and we are in the process of a move right now. And we're moving from Gaylord and going out to be under Brother Scott Hanks' ministry out there in Lawrence, Kansas. So you pray with us as we are right in the middle of that right now, in the middle of all of this stuff going on. But the Lord's good. Amen. And it is good to be with you. I love your church. I love your preacher. And I pray for you faithfully every week and covet your prayers also. We do have prayer cards on the book table back there. Most of what I got laid out is Bibles. So a lot of different Bibles. I think the most expensive Bible I got is $35. I got some study Bibles and I got some American Patriot Bible back there. I got a grandma, a Bible for grandmas where they take and they chronicle, they journal their life through the different passages in the scriptures and things. And it's some neat things back there. So if you want to take a look at that, well, grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to read a passage of scripture here and a familiar passage, I'm sure, to many. 1 Peter, of course, is a book written to Christians. And really a book charging Christians about how we're to live our lives and what we're supposed to do. I mean, you think about the command to be ye holy, for I am holy. Boy, that's one that we're really blowing right now. I go from church to church to church, and if there's anything I see anymore, it's a lack of holiness. And boy, we need to get back to that. But there's principles that he's teaching here. And 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to pick it up in verse number 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Well, that's a powerful little statement there. Be clothed with humility. And we're not supposed to, we should have no pride whatsoever. Every one of us deal with pride. Every one of us, we have problems with pride. God says we wouldn't have problems if we could be clothed with humility. Amen. And it says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I love that verse. Amen. Casting all your care upon him. As a child of God, man, just cast your care upon him, because he cares for you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, man, I tell you, he's out there. He's wanting to destroy every one of our lives, everyone that sits here today. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, same things that are happening to you are happening to everybody else. Amen. We're all going through these battles. The devil wants to take every one of us out. He wants to render your life and my life useless and so that we can accomplish nothing for the Lord. And goes on to say that every one of us face that. But notice what it says here in verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to focus a little bit on verse number 10 this morning for a few moments and in the message. What an interesting verse this is. It starts out by reminding us of who God is. He is the God of all grace. Boy, we better be thankful for that today. That we've got a God who is the God of all grace. He's the one who supplies everything that we need. The grace, that favor or acceptance before God. We have used that acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what we receive when we receive grace. And I think of the old hymn, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Thank God for that grace. It's almost like he's preparing us for the second part of the verse. That grace that's there. What do you mean? After that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. Whoa, wait a minute here. Hey God, what about that grace that you just told us about? You're the God of all grace. Now wait a minute. After that we have suffered about, wait a minute, God, what about all that love that you told us that you have for us? I mean, now you're saying after that we have suffered a while. Why would you desire to put me through suffering for a while? A lot of God's children ask that question. Maybe they don't ask it verbally, but they ask it in their heart. God, why is it that you've chosen me to go through this? This is what I want to speak about for just a few moments this morning in the Sunday school hour. This is a subject that you can study and study and study and study and study. I challenge you as a child of God, do your own study on this thing about suffering. But I want to speak for just a few moments on this simple little thought. God's purpose in our suffering. God's purpose in our suffering. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to be here today. And thank you for this good church, Lord. As I think of churches across America, Lord, I think of the churches that I look to as the good churches. Lord, you know this is one of them. And Lord, I thank you for their pastor, who I consider a great man of God. And I thank you for raising him up here in this area. And Lord, thank you for the lighthouse that this church is. And I know it's not just a preacher. There's some good people here, Lord. I pray that you would use me today as your vessel. Lord, just open my heart to be sensitive to your spirit. And I pray that your word would speak to our hearts today. Lord, help us to maybe understand a little bit more about suffering by the time we're done during the Sunday school hour because of the truth of your word. Thank you again for loving us. Please be with the preacher and heal him, Lord. Heal him up rapidly, I pray. I know he wants to be here. Just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Make a couple statements as we begin here, something to stop and think about and consider. What God allows is not always what he wants. You say, what are you saying there, Brother Martin? What God allows is not always what he wants. Yeah, but what he allows is for the purpose of accomplishing what he wants. What he allows is for the purpose of accomplishing what he wants. Does God want us to... We could look back at different things. We could look back, okay, the loss of a baby or of a child. Does God want that to happen? I don't think so, but I think he allows it because he's got a purpose behind it. There's something that he's trying to accomplish through that. You know, the Lord's trying to accomplish what he wants by the things that he allows in our life. Maybe it's he wants our attention. He allows something to happen, maybe a financial thing in our life, or maybe it's a sickness or something, but he's just trying to get our attention through it. That's what he really wants. Maybe it's that he wants our devotion. He wants us to get our eyes focused back on him again. You know, God uses suffering to do this. He does. He uses it to get us to focus back on him. How about maybe because he just wants our trust? He wants us to get back to really trusting him. You know, sometimes it's easy to slip away from that and begin to trust in what we think we can do or what we think we could accomplish or maybe the financial blessings that the Lord has given to us, and we've gotten away from this thing about trusting Him. Maybe it's just because He wants us to grow in faith. Amen. We're supposed to grow in faith, every one of us. We're not supposed to, and by the way, faith is not something that we build up within ourselves. It's growing in faith means that we are more assured in who God is every moment. Amen. Because faith is all about Him. It's not about you and I, but it's about Him and about who we really believe He is. And maybe it's just because He wants us to experience His comfort. Amen. What do you mean? He's the God of all comfort. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that He, through His comfort, He comforted us so that we can comfort other people, so that we can help other people, you know. Maybe He just wants to get glory out of whatever it is that He allows in our life. Does He really want what it is? Well, maybe not. Maybe He's just allowing it to accomplish what He wants in our life. Amen. I hope I'm not mixing you up by saying what I'm saying here, but maybe it's just He wants us to experience some things. He wants to experience His grace, that He is the God of all grace. Maybe it's that He wants us to experience His mercy. Amen. Maybe He just wants us to experience His forgiveness. Amen. Or maybe He wants us to experience the provision that He has for all of us. He wants us to experience all the attributes that make Him the wonderful, loving Creator, God and Father that He is to those that are His children. No one likes or looks forward to suffering. Anybody in here? Man, I just love it when suffering comes into my life. I can't raise my hand on that one. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul where he said that there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He said, therefore, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I've not reached to that place in my life. Glorying in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boy, that's where we need to get to in our life. Suffering is painful. Just think of the definition. It says to be vexed. It says to be affected, to endure, to feel, or to bear what is painful. That's what suffering is. It says not only painful, but disagreeing or distressful. We must remember that our God, Jehovah God, is a loving, gracious Father. And He has a purpose in the suffering that does happen in our life. We're going to look at a bunch of verses of Scripture. Grab your Bible, look at Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. We got about 30 minutes, and I'm going to go through a bunch of Scripture here. But this is just a little Bible study. Hopefully that it'll challenge and help you a little bit. Maybe, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're going through some suffering right now. Maybe you're just coming out of it. If you're neither one of those, you better get prepared, because there's probably some coming into your life. In Philippians chapter number 1, and notice what it says in verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. But suffering is a part of it. You say, well, that's talking about the persecution that's going to happen. Well, yeah, it is. But suffering encompasses a whole lot of different things in our life. We're called to go through suffering for the Lord's sake. I think about how Jesus suffered for each and every one of us. Boy, the Scriptures tell us about how He went through. By the way, He's not asking you or I to go through anything that He hasn't already done. He's experienced it. He knows it. He knows what you're going through, and He knows what I'm going through. Amen. Look, if you would, back in Hebrews chapter 2. I love this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 2. And notice what it says here in verse number 18, it says, for in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Because He's been through it, He knows what you've been through it, what you've been through, and He's tried to draw you to Him. Amen. Over in chapter 5, notice what it says there in chapter 5 and verse number 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's one of the purposes in our suffering. What is perfection? It's perfection. It's perfecting us. You say, whoa, suffering is going to perfect me? Yeah, if we'll allow it to. if we'll let the Lord work that work. We'll get back to that in just a few moments here. But again, He never asks us to go through anything that He's not gone through Himself. Hey, think about all the different people through the history of time that's gone through the suffering that they've been through. You know, we get upset when God allows some little thing come into our life, but man, everybody's dealt with this throughout the history. That's what part of this existence is all about. We're going to go through suffering. Think about James chapter 5. Look over there. Notice what it says here in James chapter 5. In verse number 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And Jesus suffered it. We know that in the agony that He went through on the cross and just the suffering that He had to go through living this existence here. And the different things that He suffered, it says the prophets. Take the prophets for an example of suffering. How about in look over in Acts chapter 5, in verse number 41, we see not only the prophets, but the apostles also. Acts chapter 5. And verse number 41. My fingers are working slow today. All right. It says, and they departed. This is talking about Peter and John. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Daily in the temple and every house they cease not to preach and teach, but to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Suffering. Suffering. It's a part. Suffering for the Lord's sake in this life. We're going to face it. We're going to face it physical suffering. We're going to face suffering of persecution. We're going to face suffering of circumstances that happen. All of these are a part of our existence, a part of our life. But God has a purpose in it. We got to believe that He as God knows what He's doing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9, God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much higher than what ours are. And He knows exactly what He's trying to accomplish in your life and mine. The prophets suffered through it. The apostles, what about over in chapter 9, Acts chapter 9? Man, I tell you what, the Lord warned Paul what was going to happen here in Acts chapter 9. This is the conversion of Saul. And it says in verse number 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Let me just put a little sideline in here. Suffering is a part of everybody's life. Suffering is a part of the life of non-believers also. It's just when you're a child of God, you know that that God's got a purpose in what He's doing and He's trying to accomplish something. We just need to learn to trust Him more through it. Romans chapter 8. I like this verse. Romans chapter 8. Look over there real quick. Notice what it says here. In verse number 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Boy, aren't you looking forward to that day? Where when this suffering is over with, the suffering of this life is done. Amen. We ain't going to have to face it in heaven. Amen. We're not going to be going through the things that we have to go through and the turmoil and the trials and the heartaches and those things. Those will be gone away. They'll be done away with. Amen. It's just for this temporary time that we go through this. And you know what it's all about? It's all about becoming what He wants us to be. That's what it's all about. That's what the suffering is for. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And how about suffering in this aspect? We all have heard this verse quoted before, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, notice what it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's saying, hey, the temptations that come into our life, whether there's temptations to sin, whether there's temptations to fall away from Him because of circumstances that He allows to happen in our life, God says that He will not suffer us to go beyond what we're able to bear. Now, Brother Jenkins preached a message a while back about God never gives us, God does give us more than what we can bear. But not more than what He can bear. What do you mean? He says he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, along with his help, whatever suffering that he allows to go on in our life, in any shape or form, he's there for us and he can help us through that. If we would simply keep our eyes on him, trust him. Amen. Psalm 55 and verse number 22, it says, cast thy burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He won't suffer you to the place where you have to flee away from him, not with the power of the Holy Spirit as a child of God living in you. Amen. As the righteous, it's talking about the righteous. What do you mean? You say, well, God, why are you doing this? Why are you putting this on me? This is more than what I can bear. This is what, no, wait a minute. That would be contradictory to the Word of God. He won't do that. He's not going to suffer you to be moved away from him or whatever. That's your flesh that's doing that. Amen. God knows what he's doing when he allows the suffering to come into our life. We just need to get to the place where we trust him more. Amen. We're called to suffer with one another as church members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Flip over a page. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Notice what it says here in verse number, talking about the body. Let's pick it up. Let me see here. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's kind of humorous there. If your foot could speak, some people's feet do speak. But anyway, if your hand could speak, and then it goes on to say, and if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Well, this is a good one for us to read over and over again in how we're supposed to live in the church and be in the church. You're realizing that everybody is important to God. Amen. Every member of this body is important to God. The people that are more feeble, they're necessary. Amen. God puts them there. Why? To work on us. That's why. Amen. How about this? He goes on to say, in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And I think of the bus ministry when I think of that. Oh, just bus kids bringing in. Well, be careful what we say about that. Just bus kids. You know how many bus kids grown up to be great preachers, grown up to serve God in great ways and come out of just terrible situations. Man, praise God for the bus ministry. Those that have less honor, we bestow more abundant honor to. Amen. Praise God for a church that still runs the buses. Amen. And he goes on to say, for our comely part hath no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. We're supposed to fill that part. Amen. That lacks in others' lives. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Wow. That's a deep thought right there. If one of the members of the body is suffering, all the members are to suffer with it. You say, how do we do that? Trying to put yourself in their shoes? Well, I pray for people that are sick in the church and everything. Do we go beyond that to really try to understand what they're going through? To put ourselves in their shoes if we were there, what we would do? Yeah, God broke my heart a number of years ago about this. At our church, we had a midwinter revival going on, and Brother Darrell Cox was there preaching it, and I was there for 2 days of it. And I'm sitting there, and at the end of one of the services, Brother Cox gave the invitation, and there's an older lady in our church that began to walk down the aisle, and she had her son-in-law with her. Her name was Miss Charlotte. And Miss Charlotte had gotten cancer about 8-10 months prior to this, and it had really, really taken a toll on her body. She's really suffering through it, and she had to have her son-in-law help her to come down the aisle. God had spoken to her heart. She wanted to deal with the Lord. She came up to the altar and they pointed up to preacher, and preacher come down off the altar, and she said that she needed some help to kneel down. She wanted to kneel down. And as she passed by, thoughts began to go through my mind. And I, you know, as I saw her right away, I thought, I pray for Miss Charlotte. I try to pray for her every day. But as she came up and as preacher came down off the platform and as he took her hand and as I watched her agonize just to get down on her knees because she wanted to commune with her God, God broke my heart. And I began to think of it in a different light. Do I really understand what she's going through? Can I put myself where she's at? Can I? You know, that's what the Lord's called us to do as church members. Amen. Try to put ourselves where other people are so that we can know how to better pray for them. Amen. So the church, we see the apostles, we see the prophets, we see Christ, we see the church, how we're supposed to suffer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation." He said, you know what? Tribulation is a part of this life. We're going to suffer through tribulation. He's telling the church that. He's telling them, you're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer. We're all suffering. It's just a part of this existence. A few more verses. Paul to Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The message is really, really short. You say, well, your time's about up. I know. The message is real short. This is all introductory. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I challenge everybody, do your own study on this. This is a powerful thought, the study on suffering. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." The afflictions of the gospel. What the suffering that we have to go through just for standing for the Lord, to be what we're supposed to be. We're going to have to suffer through things if we're going to stand with Him. In verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Amen. So I'm not ashamed to go through the things that I got to go through. You know, these are the things that I got to suffer to be able to live this life the way the Lord wants me to live it. Chapter 3 in verse number 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We're going to face it. We're going to have to go through it. We're going to have to deal with it, learn to deal with it. I think about Moses, and where it tells us in there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, where choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's part of suffering that we all have to choose what we're going to do with it. Are we going to choose to go ahead and suffer with the people of God? Are we going to choose to suffer with Christ for living this Christian life? Or are we going to choose not to suffer that way because I don't want to have to face all of that with my friends and family and everybody else? I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that are choosing to walk away from that, choosing not to suffer. I don't want to suffer through taking the stand that I ought to take for the Lord. Shame on us. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." There's a time for suffering. There's a time for physical suffering. There's a time for mental suffering. There's a time for suffering for the name of Christ. There's a time for suffering in every one of our lives. It's a part of God's plan for your life. Why? Okay, flip back over there again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and notice what it says. Now the message. 13 minutes and I'll be done. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice what it says again. Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect." First thing, I alluded to it earlier, but the first thing, purpose in God's suffering is to perfect us. It's a perfecting work. To the word perfect there, you look it up, and it says to complete thoroughly. To repair, to adjust, to fit, to frame or to mend, to prepare or restore. That's what a perfecting work is. To fit us to be the child of God we ought to be. Amen. To repair us. To help us to become the child of God that we ought to be. To restore us. Amen. To become the child of God. You think about the different aspects of suffering in those words there. And what this perfection is doing. It's a perfecting work. Back to Hebrews chapter 2 real quick. Look there. Hebrews chapter 2 where we read earlier. And notice what it says in verse number 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. But for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In this life, the perfection of Christ was through the sufferings that he went through to go to the cross to die for each and every one of us. Amen. He was perfect. He was God in the flesh. But in his human existence, the perfection of that was the sufferings that he went through to go to the cross. It's a perfecting work in your life and mine when we go through suffering. I think of so many different peoples that I know that have gone through real deep heartaches and sorrows and sufferings and loss of family. I think of that one young lady back home that had been through a lot with the loss of her husband, that vehicle accident that we had about 6 years ago at her church, and lost four young men, and she was pregnant with their first child, and she's been raising that child by herself, going through all this heartache and the sorrow that she's going through and everything. But yet, you talk to her today, and she says, you know, I still think about what I had to go through, and I think about the loss of my husband, the one that I loved so much and so dearly. And she said, but you know, God's done a work in my life. And I asked her one time, she's almost like a daughter to me, and I said, Aaron, what's going on? What can you tell me has come out? If there's something good that's come out of this, what can you tell me that's good? And she said, she won't call me Brother Dan, she called me Brother Martin. She said, Brother Martin, she said, probably the greatest thing that's come out of this is I never dreamed I could be this close to the Lord. Well, we get so upset when God allows one little thing of suffering to come into our life. Man, to give a heart like that, to understand that God's got a purpose in his suffering. What is it? It's a perfecting work. She said, I'm closer to the Lord than I've ever been in my life. I never dreamed I could get this close to God. Amen. It's a perfecting work. And verse number 11, look in verse number 11 here in Hebrews chapter 2. And for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Man, thank God. What a Savior. What a Savior. And not just heaven itself, but wait a minute. What he went through was to experience suffering and agony and all that we go through so that he can draw us to himself when we're going through the suffering. It's a perfecting work. Amen. The second thing it says over there in 1 Peter chapter 5 about this, the purpose for suffering in our life, it says in that he may, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. The second thing says, establish. One word, establish. What does it mean to establish? It means to set fast. It says to turn absolutely in a certain direction. It says to confirm, to fix, or to strengthen. What are you saying, man? Establishing work of suffering in our life, it fixes us. It sets us fast. It causes us to turn absolutely in a certain direction if we keep our eyes on the Lord and allow it to. Amen. God's got a purpose in what he's allowing to happen and take place. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what it says here in I know I'm not preaching this morning, but I hope you're getting something from this that'll help you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Notice what it says here. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And the work of God in our life, the suffering that is allowed that we go through, it's a perfecting work, it's an establishing work. It causes us to get to be fixed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Man, be established in the Lord. Be established in His word. Be established in His work, even through the suffering that we go through. Chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Amen. That's what He'll do for us, even in the sufferings that we go through. One of the great purposes of suffering, going through that suffering for a little while, why? It's to perfect us. It's to establish us. And then it says, establishing us in the faith. And then it says this, strengthen. The next word there is strengthen. Man, the suffering work in our life is a work that's supposed to strengthen us. Why? As we go through the experiences of life, as we go through the experience of suffering and we trust the Lord through it, and everybody here can give testimony to this, and you watch the Lord strengthen you through the suffering that you went through, it helps you to be able to just keep on going. Strengthen means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. To confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. I have to go back and think about Abraham. When Abraham was called by God to go and to offer up his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, as a burnt offering on a mountain that God told him of. And he didn't even question God. He just did it. He just went and did it. Why? Because of this right here. What? He had been strengthened. He was at the place where he'd experienced it. He'd been through it with God. He knew he could trust the Lord. Man, as we go through the suffering in our life, it strengthens us that we can trust Him. We know that He'll be there for us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's already promised that. Amen. Thank God for that. Luke chapter 22 and verse number... if I get the right verse here. Verse number 39. Talking about Jesus in the garden. In the garden of Gethsemane. And He came out and went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives. And His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You understand that when Jesus did this in the garden, He wasn't doing it for His own sake. He was doing it for Peter and James and John's sake. Peter and James and John, He pulled them aside with Him so that they could see what He was going through. Why? So that they could experience everything the Lord went through, He went through for you and I, so that He could leave us an example to follow. He was trying to show them that even in the great agony and suffering that He was going through, when He would pray unto the Father, that the Father would bring strength to Him to help Him to be able to continue to go forward. And they missed it because they fell asleep on Him. What are you saying? Man, the suffering that we go through in our life, it's a perfecting work. It's establishing work. It's a strengthening work. And then the last thing it says, settle you. Settle you. What does that mean, to settle you? It means to lay a basis for. It means to erect, to consolidate a foundation or ground. Suffering is the groundwork in your life and mine for what the Lord wants to build on. Think of it that way. When some suffering comes into my life, hey, this is the groundwork that the Lord's doing. Why? Because he's got something he wants to build on my life. He wants to accomplish something in my life. If I would just trust him through this. I'll have to close with this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's many other passages we could turn to. And I challenge you to read through 1 Peter. Read through 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh my goodness. The suffering that it talks about. Suffering in this Christian life and the existence of what we have to go through to live as a child of God, to be a child of God. It's part of what we have to go through. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same... No, wait a minute. Let's back up. Look at verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I mean, there's trouble comes into our life, but we don't have to be distressed through it. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I mean, we're just perplexed about what's going on, but we don't have to be in despair. What does he say? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Amen. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, yes, suffering's going to be here. Yes, affliction's going to be here. Yes, but it's all about this life. It's all about this, and God's trying to accomplish something greater. And God wants to use your life and mine to see more people saved and to see the work of God continue and to see us become the child of God perfection in our life that He wants to bring into our life also. Something just popped in my mind. Just thinking about this. We were going to leave and head down here earlier. I'll close with this. We were going to leave and head down here earlier yesterday, and... we got hit by that snowstorm. You say, well, we got a bunch of snow here. Yeah, we left 2 feet of snow back home. So I'm out there shoveling snow, grumbling and complaining because I'm having to shovel snow. And all of a sudden, the FedEx guy pulls up. He jumps out and brings a package to me. And I get the package. I said, well, let me put it right in the back of my car here. So I'm shoveling. So we put it in the back of the car. And... Lord said, give him a track. I reached in my pocket. I always carry tracks in my pocket. I pulled a track out. I said, hey, I want to give you a track. Tell you how you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. And he looked at it and goes, oh, well, thank you. And he just stood there. Like the Holy Spirit said, come on, dummy. I'm trying to help you here. So, long story short, I started asking him questions. Found out he'd moved into the area not too awful long ago. He said they weren't going to a church. And I said, have you ever gone to church? He said, never. I began witnessing to him. And man, he was so tender. And was able to lead him to the Lord. And he said, I run this route every day. I come through here every day. I said, you come back by on Tuesday and I'll give you some materials to help you. And he said, I'll be back on Tuesday. And I got thinking about that afterwards. I'm sitting here grumbling, complaining about this snow and about the things that the Lord's making me to go through here. And God's saying, dummy, I'm just trying to do something. I'm trying to help you here. You know, it's the same way with every bit of suffering that you and I go through. If we could just wrap our mind around it, that He's trying to perfect us. He's trying to establish us. He's trying to strengthen us. He's trying to settle us so that we can become exactly what He's created us for. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the wealth of scriptures about this thing of suffering in our life. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be challenged as we think about our Savior. Lord, with this season, we think about His coming to this earth. think about him living in the human existence and to think that it was all for us. It was not for him, it was for us. And God, it was so that we could be saved. It was the suffering, the agony, everything he went through. God, he's our example. Lord, help us to take to heart the thoughts today. Lord, help us to allow your suffering to accomplish what you want it to in our lives. Thank you for being willing to suffer for us. Lord, just speak to hearts, help us, and give us a good service to follow. Again, be with preacher and heal his sickness, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.